morning. Today I want to talk to you about advancing the kingdom through faithful stewardship. Advancing the kingdom through faithful stewardship. Last week we began a new sermon series about advancing the kingdom, and we talked about advancing the kingdom through, last week we talked about through outreach, and we identified a number of the outreach ministries that we have and how important they are to our mission and what God is wanting us to do here in this community. And in fact, then yesterday, a lot of folks showed up here as we walked the streets here from this church down Peoria into Johnson Park, spent a little more than an hour just praying and worshiping and just declaring revival and breakthrough and deliverance and just claiming this community for Jesus Christ, advancing his kingdom right here in our community. There were probably, at one point I counted, about 50 people. There were some from our church. There were several other churches that were involved, but you know, it was never about a church. It was never about Spirit Life. It's all about Jesus and advancing his kingdom. Amen. 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 So today I want to talk about advancing the kingdom of God through faithful stewardship. And as we look at that title this morning, there are just three real important words that I want to talk about. I want to talk about kingdom, I want to talk about stewardship, and I want to talk about faithfulness. So let's first of all talk about kingdom. I wanted to kind of take the mystery out of that word kingdom. What is a kingdom? You know, when we talk about the church, people go, I understand church. I get it. You know, I know what a church building looks like. I know what church people look like. I know what we do in church. We pray, we sing, we preach. You know, I get church, but this kingdom, advancing the kingdom of God, how is that different than advancing the church? And simply put, a kingdom is where a king rules. That's what a kingdom is. It's, a kingdom is where a king rules, where he has sovereign reign and absolute authority. It's his place of dominion or domain. In fact, that's really where we get, if you look at king's domain, kingdom, you see kingdom right there. That's really what a kingdom is. It's the king's domain. It's where he rules. It's where he is Lord. And so when we talk about as a church, when we talk about as the body of Christ, advancing the kingdom of God on the earth, we're saying that we want to just tell everybody about Jesus. And then when everybody's got Jesus in their hearts and everybody's living according to the way Jesus wants them to live, obeying his will, doing his will, the kingdom will be being established on the earth. Jesus, in the Lord's Prayer, he taught us to pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You know, sometimes we look at that as though it's like part A and part B. Like it's thy kingdom come, that's one thing. Thy will be done, that's another thing, on earth as it is in heaven. But it's not. It's thy kingdom come, thy will be done. It's all one thing, because where the kingdom of God is coming, the will of God is being done. And wherever the will of God is being done, it's because that's where the kingdom of God is actually in operation. And so as we look at culture today, we want as a church to bring the kingdom of God into all of the elements of culture. And, you know, when you start to advance the kingdom, when one king says, I'm declaring war on another kingdom, there's usually a little bit of pushback. Would you agree with that? That if one king says, hey, I want to take your territory and I want to rule and reign over it, the other king's going, oh, no. I'm not just going to hand it over to you. There's going to be a battle. There's going to be a war. If you want it, you're going to have to come and take it from me, right? Well, that's what's going to happen. That's what is happening as the kingdom of God is advancing in the earth. Because Satan has been trying to lay his claim to the earth for long enough. Amen? Long enough. And we're bringing the kingdom of God to bear. We're bringing the kingdom. We're advancing his kingdom. And so every time that the kingdom of God pushes up against the kingdom of darkness, there's going to be conflict. There's going to be a clash. Several years ago, someone came up with the concept of the seven mountains of culture and said that that the kingdom of God needs to advance in all seven of those arenas of culture, if you will. The arena of religion, of family, of education, of government, of media and entertainment and business. And so when you look at all seven of those, you begin to realize that every place where the kingdom of God starts to advance, When the kingdom of God starts in the area of family, how many of you realize that the family is under attack? Satan's trying to destroy families. He's taking out the definition. We changed the definition of family. You realize that culture today's changed the definition of family? It's not just a single mom or a single dad doing the best that they can to try to raise their kids, but I mean, even now it's like, you know, the book, Somebody Has Two Mommies and what have you. We're changing that. What happens when the kingdom of God begins to say, no, wait a minute, we're going to establish God's kingdom in the family? All of a sudden there is a pushback by the enemy. And we find ourselves, you know, in warfare against the communities who want to say, no, family doesn't have to be what we've always called family. It doesn't have to be mom and dad and, you know, everybody living together and under the authority of God. No, we think that you can have all kinds of other things that goes on in life, and we can call that family as well. And so there's this clash, there's this conflict. It happens in education, it happens in government, it happens in family, it happens in media and in entertainment. It happens everywhere that we start to advance the kingdom of God. But just because there's pushback doesn't mean that we ought to not do it. We've been called to advance the kingdom of God, even though we know there's going to be warfare. Now, I want to move into a second important word, and that is the word stewardship. Stewardship. That we are to be good stewards of the kingdom of God. But what is stewardship? And here's the basic concept of stewardship. It is an understanding that God owns everything, that we own nothing, that he lets us use his stuff, but he holds us accountable to use it the way he wants us to use it. So, I've got good news for you today. The good news is you're all broke. You don't own anything. Somebody said, I didn't even need you to tell me that, Pastor. I saw my checkbook the other day. You're all broke. You don't own anything. You say, well, wait a minute. Yes, I do. I have a house. I have a car. Not if you understand the concept of stewardship. That's God's house. He just lets you live in it. That's God's apartment. He just lets you live in it. That's God's car. He just lets you drive it. Oh, by the way, if somebody needs a ride to church, guess what God's car should be doing? Yeah. It's out your way? Sorry, you'd have to be walking if it wasn't for God's car. Right? So we need to understand this concept that God owns everything. We own nothing. But now there's some more good news. See, you're broke, but here's some more good news. God ain't. God is not broke. God owns everything. The Bible talks about how God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. I don't know how many cattle can fit on 1,000 hills. Somebody said he owns the taters in the hills too. You know, he owns it all. He owns everything. And when we start to understand this concept of stewardship, that I own nothing, God owns everything, but because he's a good God, he's providing me everything that I need to go through life and to fulfill the purpose that he has for my life. When I begin to understand that, guess what? I don't have to worry about anything. I want to ask you today, those of you who have small children, do you think your kids worry about whether the electric bill is going to get paid? If they did, they would probably be turning the lights off a little bit more often, right? Do you think your kids are worried about whether they're going to have something to eat for lunch today? No, why? Because they trust their father, they trust their mother is going to take care of them, right? I want to tell you today, your heavenly father is going to take care of you. So you don't have to worry about, see, kids don't have a bank account. Kids don't own cars. Kids don't own houses, you know, but they have everything that they need provided for them by their father. That's the concept of stewardship. I own nothing. God owns everything, and he's going to take care of me. That's good news today. That concept is a fundamental. In fact, the very first verse in the Bible introduces us to this concept of stewardship. We know it. Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. How many of you know that if you created something, it's yours? If you made it, you created it, it belongs to you. And so the earth is the Lord's. The Bible says the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Everything that's in the earth belongs to God. You know, if you don't understand that basic premise, everything else is going to be out of alignment in your life. It's kind of like trying to button your shirt. How many of you have ever tried to button your shirt and you got the first one wrong? And you get working on down and all of a sudden you realize, uh-oh. You know, nothing else is going to line up if you don't get it right at the beginning. Nothing else in your life is going to line up. Your finances are not going to line up. Your peace of mind is not going to line up if you don't start with the first button that says, God owns everything, I own nothing. He's blessed me with all that I have, and I'm just supposed to be faithful to take care of it for him. But when you get that, it relieves all of the pressure and all the stress that most of us go through in life. You know, it's kind of like this. If you were to come up to me and say, Pastor Tommy, I saw your pickup truck out there. I need to move a couple pieces of furniture today, and I don't have a truck. Could I just borrow your truck for a couple hours? And I reached in my pocket, and I handed you the keys to my truck. And said, sure, I trust you. I believe that you will use this truck for the purpose for which it was intended. What I'm saying is, I don't believe that you're going to take my truck and go try to take it down to the racetrack and race it. I don't believe that you're going to go into the swamp and try to do four-wheel drive, you know, mud bogging or something like that with my truck. I don't think that you're going to try to climb rocks like a Jeep would do with my truck. No, you're going to use my truck. You're going to take good care of it. You're going to, you know, check the oil, you know, make sure that all the, you know, the idiot lights are all functioning right. You're going to put gas in it, you know, if it needs gas. You're not going to leave it stranded on the side of the road. You're not going to leave the motor blown up in my truck because, you know, the oil light came on and you didn't add a little bit of oil to it. No, you're going to take care of my truck. You're going to use it for the purpose that you said you were going to use it for. And then you're going to hand me back the keys, right? I'm really believing in that last part. You're going to hand me back the keys. See, at no point at the time that you have possession of my truck did it belong to you. It was mine the whole time. You could tell these people who listened to the first service. That's right. It's not my truck. It's God's truck that he's letting me use that I'm letting you use, right? I want you to get that. It never belonged to you. But you have possession of it to use it for what it was supposed to be used for. Listen, that's the principle of stewardship, y'all, is that you don't have to own anything. God owns everything. Come on, somebody say, I don't own anything. Say, God owns everything, but God's taking care of me. I may be broke, say it, but God ain't broke. That's good news. Come on, give the Lord a hand. Praise the Lord. You know, in the Bible, there's this story of Job. Many of you know the story of Job. He was a rich man, the richest man on the earth at that time. There was this argument in heaven between God and Satan about why Job loved God so much. And Satan says, well, it's because you bless him with all this stuff. And God says, no, I know Job's heart. If all the stuff was gone, he'd still love me anyhow. And so there's this kind of this divine agreement in heaven. And next thing you know, Job loses everything. I mean, he loses his land, his houses, his cattle, his children. I mean, it's all gone like in a day's time. And Job, in the midst of that loss, makes this remarkable statement. He says, the Lord gives and the Lord takes away, but blessed be the name of the Lord. How in the world could Job make that kind of a statement? Well, it's because he understood that it wasn't his stuff to begin with. It was all God's. God had blessed him. If God said, hey, you know, for a season in your life, you know. And I think maybe Job had a sense that this is just for a season. I've seen good things happen and bad things happen. You know, and I just don't think that this is the forever ending of my life. He had a trust and a faith and a confidence in God. And in the end of the story, if you read it, God doubled everything that Job had from the beginning. He had an understanding of this concept of stewardship, and so he didn't worry when it was all taken away. He knew that God was taking care of him. You know, how we view our finances is directly connected to how we view God, how we view his kingdom, and how we view how we operate in his kingdom. In the Sermon on the Mount, and you can't really talk about stewardship without understanding the Sermon on the Mount. You can't talk about kingdom without looking at the Sermon on the Mount. In fact, some 20 years ago, I read a book that said the Sermon on the Mount should have been called the Manifesto of the King. Because what it's Jesus saying, this is the way my kingdom operates. These are the rules of engagement in my kingdom. This isn't how the world operates. This is how my kingdom operates. Just like in the United States, we've got the Constitution that says these are the laws and this is the way everything's supposed to work. Well, God gave us the manifesto of the King in the Sermon on the Mount to say, here's the rules. This is what works in my kingdom. This is how things are supposed to happen. And God says some things to us, such as in Matthew chapter 6, verse 19. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. What is he saying? He's saying get your focus on what's really important. Get your focus on what really matters. He knows that we need stuff on the earth. He's going to take care of us. I'm going to get to that in a moment. But he says, but don't focus on that. Don't make it your life's goal that I've got to just get as much stuff as I can possibly get. He said, no, put your focus on heaven. Put your focus on the spiritual things. Put your focus on the eternal things instead of the physical and the material and the temporary things. And when you put your focus on those things, the kingdom, then I'm going to take care of everything else. He says in verse 25, therefore I tell you, do not be anxious. Don't be worried about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you'll put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Therefore, do not be anxious in verse 31, saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all of these things. In other words, those who don't really know me, that's their focus. They're all about the material stuff. They're all about the here and the now. He says, but instead, for the Gentiles seek after all these things, and this is important, and your, say that with me, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. All is the food and the clothing and the raiment and all the stuff that he's already talked about. Your Father knows you need all of that, so don't worry, he knows you need it, and he's going to take care of you. He says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things will be added unto you. Put God first, and all of these other things that we worry about, and we stress over, and we don't know, am I going to make it? I don't know if this is going to work. I don't know if I'm going to have enough money. I don't know if I can pay my bills. I don't know. We worry about that. Jesus says, hey, listen, time out. Stop it. Seek first God's kingdom. Seek first his righteousness. Make God the Lord. Make him the priority. And your Father that knows what you need is going to give you all that you need to take care of you. That is some good news, folks. Amen. You see, faithful stewardship is really about lordship. In fact, you could put it this way. Stewardship is lordship. It's the place where Jesus is ruling and reigning as Lord. And he wants to rule and reign as the Lord in your life. He wants you to trust him. And so the ultimate question of that then is, am I the Lord of my life? Or is Christ the Lord of my life? Which brings me to the last word, and that is the word faithful or faithfulness. In Matthew chapter 25, Jesus gives the parable of a man who was a wealthy man. He's going away on a long trip. Wasn't going to be back for a while. And so he says to his top leaders, the main guys in his servants, he says, I'm going to give you 5 talents. I'm going to give you 3 talents. I'm going to give you 1 talent. Now I'm going to be gone. I'll be coming back. I want you to work really hard with what I've given you. Do the best you can with it, and we'll see how it works out. So they all knew that they'd been given talents. They all knew that it didn't belong to them, that it belonged to the master. And they all knew that there was going to be a day of accounting where they were going to have to say, hey, this is what I did. So the master comes back after a long journey. One guy said, hey, you gave me 5, I doubled it, I made it 10. The other guy says, you gave me 2, I doubled it, I made it 4. The other guy says, you gave me 1, and I was scared, so I buried it in the ground, and I didn't do anything with it. Now, the last guy, he got rebuked, he got punished because of what he did. But I don't want to focus on that last guy. What I want to focus on is the ones who are good stewards. And listen to what the Lord said to him. It's in Matthew 25:21, his Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I'm going to make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord. What does faithfulness mean? We all want to hear those words from Jesus at the end of our life. Well done, good and faithful servant. But what is faithfulness? Faithfulness is the concept of unfailingly remaining loyal to someone or something and putting that loyalty into consistent practice regardless of extenuating circumstances. Did you catch the last part of that definition? Regardless of extenuating circumstances. You see, the test of faithfulness is not when everything's going easy. The test of faithfulness is when things are tough. It's when things are hard. It's when the choices aren't easy. It's when it would be easier for me to do this and make my flesh happy than to do what God's asking me to do. But God's asking me to do this. That's where the test of the faithfulness actually is proven. You know, when I think about faithfulness, one of the things that I think about the fact is that God is faithful. You want to know what faithfulness is? Just look at God. God is faithful. You can trust him. He's always there 100% of the time. He always does what he says he's going to do 100% of the time. Not 99.99%, 100% of the time. He is faithful. And he's asking us to be faithful as well. And in this area of finances, in this area of stewardship, we have to learn how to be faithful to God with everything 100% of the time. We got to be faithful to his word and what he says to us 100% of the time. It's one thing to say, well, I'm going to give because I got some extra in my pocket today. It's one thing to say, I'm going to give because I just got a raise, I just got a bonus, I just got a promotion. I'm going to give because I just got my government, you know, tax check or whatever, you know, that came in. I'm going to give now. It's another thing to say, no, I'm going to give all of the time. Every time that I have increase that comes into my life, I'm going to tithe off of that because it belongs to who? It belongs to God because I don't own anything. I don't own anything. He owns what?
Everything.
And so when he says, can you give me the keys back? I give him the keys back because it belongs to him anyhow. But I give it back knowing that the next time I need to borrow the truck, he's going to give me the keys again, right? He's going to take care of me because he is a good God. Malachi 3:10 says, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there will not be room enough to receive it. How many of you would like to see the windows of heaven opened over your life and the blessings of God poured out on you? Anybody would like to see that? Let me ask it, put in another question. How many of you feel like that you have had those times in your life where the windows of heaven opened up in your life and God poured out blessings on you? You know what? The solution to that is right here in the Bible. The answer to that is right here. Why does it happen? Why does it not happen? It happens when we bring the tithe into the storehouse. That's God's promise. And God is faithful. He's faithful. In Luke 6:38, Jesus says, given it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet with all, it shall be measured to you again. I like the New Living Translation at the end of that verse. It says, the amount you give will determine the amount you get back. How big of a bucket do you want people pouring into in your life? You know, would you like a bucket about this size? Would you like a bucket about this size? I know you, because I know me. I want a bucket this size. Well, guess what? And I'm going to have to start learning how to sew if I'm going to get a big bucket coming back, if I wanted the blessings of the Lord to come back into my life. I want to ask you to stand with me this morning, and I want to just close this message by basically saying, God knows what you need, and you don't have to worry about it. Be anxious for nothing, he says. Don't worry. God knows about the bills that are coming. And he knows how to help you to be a good steward of what he has blessed you with. If we want more in our life, the biblical principle says sow more, give more. Be faithful more. Because if you've been faithful over the few things, I'll make you ruler over many. If you'll give, it'll be given back to you in the same measure. If you give a little, you'll get back a little. If you give a lot, you'll get back a lot. Listen, I'm not talking about just giving your tithes and offering to Spirit Life Church. I'm talking about being a steward in the kingdom of God, making your life not about the here and the now, not about the physical stuff, but making your life about the eternal, putting your focus on the eternal, putting your focus on advancing the kingdom of God. Heavenly Father, Lord, help us to faithfully advance the kingdom of God as faithful stewards in your kingdom. Help us, Lord, to be found faithful. Help us, Lord, to trust in you, to really trust in you, knowing that you are a good God and you love us and you know what we need and you're going to provide it. I thank you today because heaven is not broke. Heaven has every resource that I need in my life. Heaven has every resource that every person in this room, every person watching online has in need of in their life. Heaven is rich to bless us. Lord, help us to understand that stewardship is lordship. And we want to make you the Lord of our lives.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your word. There may be some of you in here that have heard what we have believed and what have changed our lives. And it starts like this: God created heaven and earth. And when he created heaven and earth, he created mankind. And mankind subjected it to the word, the scriptures use this very big word, futility. Meaning that we subjected it to what is not good, wrong, evil. And we perceive it. We see it throughout our lives. People are making really wrong decisions. You see it. We've made wrong decisions. And that it has hurt those around us. And then we found out that we actually can't do this on our own. That there was a penalty for our sins, not just the consequences of our behavior and how it impacts our lives and the lives of those around us, but that there would be an eternal consequence, an eternal penalty. That God will, like the master that comes back to his servants and say, "What have you done to what I've given you?" He will judge them. He will judge us righteously. And he will give us the eternal consequences for our deeds and our words. And we found out we can't overcome that. We can't pay that penalty, because truly the penalty of sin, of wrongdoing, is just death. It's just death. It's just to be removed. And so God, this is our good news. God won. He overcame the penalty and he made a way by sending his son to die the death that is our penalty for our wrongdoings, that we might live and receive his mercy eternally and be stored up, if you may, to be set apart for when he comes back and recreates the world, that we would be a part of his house, of his family, and not a part of those that he will judge and remove from his presence forever. And he says, this is what you need to do. This is what Jesus preached. He said, repent and believe. He says, this time of judgment and of the restoration of all things, it is near. And let me just tell you, it's closer than it was yesterday. And every day we live, it comes closer and closer. And he says, repent and believe if you're to be saved from the judgment of God, the righteous judgment of God, to separate you for eternity from him. What does that word repent mean? It means to change the way that you live your life. It means to change your allegiance, where you are committed, where we find ourselves committed to ourselves or committed to money or committed to our own happiness. And he's saying, commit yourself to God. Commit yourself to the one who created all things. Become a faithful steward to him. Yeah? And then he says, believe. This is how we commit ourselves. Is he chose his son to come and die our death. And he says, I want you to believe that I have put my son over life and death. That is actually Jesus that will give you life forevermore, or he will separate you. And he says, believe in my son. Submit your life to him. Believe that he is king and Lord over all. These are our two responses that he gives us. And he will choose those that will have eternal life. And do you know who he will choose? Those who choose him. And so you may be in this room and you may not have that definitive moment where you said, I'm choosing Jesus. I'm choosing God. I'm asking for his help to change my life. I'm committing my life to him. And I'm going to receive his mercy and forgiveness for my wrongdoings. I want to offer you that moment right now and that opportunity to choose Jesus, to be saved eternally, and to start eternal life right now. And that's the restoration. And if that's you, just wave at me really quick. I see that hand. Okay. Well, let's pray this together. Father in heaven, I believe that you created all things. And I thank you that in your mercy and your wisdom, you're coming again to recreate, to make all things new, to remove all evil, all decay, all destruction. And I thank you that you want me to be a part of that renewal, to be a part of your family forever. So I repent. I turn away from my ways. And I'm asking you to teach me your ways, to be a faithful steward of what you have given me, life evermore. And I thank you for the help of your Holy Spirit. I receive that gift today. And I ask right now, help me from this day forward to serve Jesus with all my heart, with all my might, and all my mind. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that for the first time, welcome to the family. Or prayed that for the fifth time or the sixth time, I'd like to have our prayer team join us here up front. And if you have any needs that you're wanting to connect with our prayer team, the Bible says if you touch and agree on anything in my name, it will be done for you. And so maybe we have some needs that we just need to connect with. I bless you. Enjoy the rest of your week. If you don't have any prayer requests, in Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.